Ja.
Hallo, ja. Tür.
Oh. Okay, jetzt sind wir hier im Studio mit Michael Addy, Britta Kampner und Elena Lukianova. Okay, sorry. we like to start, maybe Michael and Britta will talk first on the exhibition. Michael opened an exhibition and in the Chopal, so Chopal, it's an exhibition space here in Bornheim Mitte. And the exhibition, the opening was on Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Britta, if you like to say, maybe she should say something first on the Chopal.
Please. Yes, okay, but in German.
Yeah, okay, you can talk in
okay,
German.
Okay, also das Chopal ist der Ausstellungsraum von meinem Bruder Klaus Kampner und mir. Und wir studieren beide an der Städelschule. Und der Ausstellungsraum ist bei uns in...
Nothing.
Da
ruft jemand an, aber wir wollen jetzt erstmal sprechen.
Der Ausstellungsraum ist in unserer gemeinsamen Privatwohnung. Es ist ein Raum extra nur dafür gedacht und wir laden halt junge Künstler und Künstlerinnen ein, bei uns auszustellen. Und da haben wir jetzt den Michael eingeladen und die Ausstellung läuft noch bis zum 18. April. Genau. Und der Michael hat sich wunderbarerweise mit der Architektur unter anderem des Ausstellungsraumes auseinandergesetzt. Dazu kann er ja vielleicht selbst dann was sagen, was auch für uns eben... Für diese Idee des Projektes, dieses Ausstellungsraums wichtig ist, dass ein bisschen auf diese spezielle architektonische Gegebenheit eingegangen wird.
Ja. So, what kind of an architecture did you find in the Chopal? In location is St. Georgenstraße.
St. Georgenstraße 2.
Ja.
Im schönen Bornheim.
The definition was really banal. It was not a study of architecture, architectural styles or anything. It was just a pre-existing environment that maybe has an advantage over a kind of white cube. And I thought that, in terms of the stories that it can tell, and I thought that... that should be explored in some way as being part of an apartment show like this one. That it the space should be acknowledged as something more than neutral. So that's the type of architecture I meant. It wasn't certain Bornheim style or anything like that.
Bornheim style because of the architecture or the environmental space around the exhibition space?
Yeah, that's kind of what it was not.
Okay.
We had some of this maybe special Bornheim related piece before, which was directed more to the special architectural Bedingungen,
Conditions.
Ja, in Bornheim. Also,
yeah,
genau.
Okay.
Ja, sehr spießig.
Moment mal.
Also, but you are not from Bornheim, so it doesn't matter for you, I think.
Also, es ist so, ich komme aber gebürtig aus Frankfurt, das wollen wir hier mal festgehalten haben. Nee, es ging halt darum, dass wir hatten eine Ausstellung gehabt vorher, also das war die erste Ausstellung, mit der wir überhaupt den Raum eröffnet haben. Und das war eine gemeinsame Arbeit von meinem Bruder und mir. Und die hieß Jesuiten im Ärmel und da hatten wir halt, also eine Arbeit war auch auf dem Balkon. Das war eine Markise, das war eine Einzelarbeit jetzt unter anderem von mir und die hat halt auch so ein bisschen diese Wasserhäuschen-Situation sollte die ein bisschen aufgreifen, die halt einfach auch, das ist ja eine ganz spezifische Sache, die es halt vor allen Dingen irgendwie, habe ich mal rausgefunden, in Frankfurt gibt und so im Ruhrgebiet und das meinte ich jetzt vielleicht, dass das ein bisschen mehr auf Bornheim bezogen wird, auf die ganzen kleinen, netten Kioske überall okay. In Bornheim.
Yeah, and you started, you heard one piece and
yeah, by
where is it
Karsten
located?
Tabel. In the apartment, it is at the the front door to the apartment, and it was an interview with a feature of the apartment that he didn't actually use, but that he had the idea to use. So I guess it had a negative influence on his, I don't mean negative in a negative way, but it had it was a response to what his exhibition actually was.
Yeah. And should we listen to the next track, maybe?
Which one is that?
We can start, and I think this was Driss.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, but you sound pretty far away.
Okay, well, I'll get closer.
Okay, go.
Ah, okay. I can speak it. No, because I want to hear. Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. We'll do it like this. You can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you. Just about.
Okay. So, I officially starting now.
You sound like Allen Ginsberg. Whenever he starts his poems, he always says the same thing.
What does he say?
He always says something like, officially it's starting now, and then he says something like, thanks for all coming to hear poetry, and then he starts to ramble on.
Well, that's perfect for...
It's a good start, right?
Yeah. Can you briefly describe some of the elements that were important for your performance? And then we can go into more detail.
I think one of the most important things was I think in English we call it skirting boards. I don't know what you have it in North America, or skirting boards, right?
They're called baseboards, I think.
Yeah, I mean the boards that skirt along the floor that connect the wall to the ground.
Right.
Yeah. So I use those skirting boards as frames for sheets of paper. Actually, were you even there, by the way?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, right. So use the skirting boards as the frames, and I had a collection of different, well, you could say 20 or 19 sheets of A4 source material imagery, which relates to a particular story about espionage and Cold War and Berlin and
right.
World War II, and these pages were placed flush against the skirting boards.
Okay. And this is because of what? What about these skirting boards made you put these on it?
Because I wanted to have a way to perform in a very small space where information can also be used in the performance directly, like pointed at or referenced, without actually taking up more space, which meant if I placed them on the wall, like you would normally do, like a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
That meant that the wall space was also slightly kind of... the people, the audience members themselves, if they were to come in, for example, they were to come in, and then they would be covering up the wall space themselves with their bodies. So I knew the best thing to do was to place it on the floor, and therefore they would all have to naturally step a meter or a foot or two from the wall, therefore making a nice circle in the space with the audience. And then I had like a frame, and the papers themselves actually framed the audience in the middle, because they couldn't lean against the wall like most audience try to do. They always try to hide.
Right.
I think in those environments, a small room, performance storytelling, people try to hide to the crevices. And the pages were a formalistic way of saying, referencing the information, and then B, a way of kind of orchestrating the audience's positioning.
But these skirting boards are also quite big.
How do you mean big?
They come out from the wall much farther than I've seen before. And that's what struck me about them.
Yeah, they are quite they're quite awkward, to be honest. I didn't really want them to be that sculptural in that way. I wish there were no skirting boards. But the point is, there needed to be something that was a definition of the space, and that actually touched the walls, and that could place it against.
Uh-huh.
So it became a kind of like a narrative on the floor narrative that I could fluctuate from performing live, and then pointing my finger and taking details, and then the audience would look from me to the page.
Mm-hmm. And how about the acoustics in the room? Did you notice that at all?
Yeah, I don't. Not just the the acoustics were pretty. It was pretty much like any small living room. It was intimate but slightly echoey because, of course, the room is practically empty apart from the 20 sheets of paper on the floor mm-hmm. and an aquarium full of dry ice with water. But one of the biggest problems was, of course, it was September the 14th, I think, the opening, so it was hot, and the windows had to be opened. Every time I didn't perform, we'd open the windows, let fresh air in, mm-hmm. shut it, and it was, as you know, there's a balcony there, like in the room. You've got the room and like a balcony, and it's like, it's a really quiet area of Frankfurt, but unfortunately, where their place is, there's a huge big road that's right behind it by the balcony, so you'd always get the disturbance of lorries and cars, you know, whizzing by, and then September hot heat, and then storytelling with bundled up people in a small room. So acoustically, it was always a battle between window open, window closed, lots of heat, no heat. You know, being if it would get very cold quickly, I wouldn't be able to perform. So in fact, the acoustically and the heat, it was a really tricky space to perform in, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much, I mean, this might be good for me. I don't know if you have other things that you want to say.
Yeah, I think just two things.
Yeah.
One thing that was was a huge, which I have to give credit to Klaus, is, as you know, Buttermilch, this really healthy German yogurt thing. And, of course, there was no real need for me to put buttermilk on the windows and to subdue the environment. But as I said, it was like summertime, and so even around 6, 7, 8 when the opening was, it was still very bright. And what I did was I decided to cover the window, or Klaus did, the windows with buttermilk, so you had this subdued environment, so it felt almost like a, you know, not like a cave, but like you actually walked through a tunnel where it's artificial light, or the light's kind of diffused somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because I wanted to also reference the aquarium, which was in the middle of the floor, which was also of the same kind of luminosity. It was a kind of, it was dry ice. You add water, it bubbles and smoke rises, and it has this very similar kind of opaque, or, well, it's weird. I mean, the dry ice is quite distinct as well, but I wanted it to be reminiscent of this idea of the Cold War and fish and cold water and related mm-hmm. to the Crimean War, and therefore the starting point for this project was, you know, late 19th century, and particular points of, well, starting with the Crimean War and fish and cold waters, which then I tried to kind of, in one way, make an object, which is a dry ice sculpture, which I placed exactly in the middle of the room based upon the floorboards. I calculated the floorboards and said, okay, this is exactly the center point, mm-hmm. as it is for me, the center point of the oracle of the storytelling. And on the edges, then, the pages would be placed, which are reference notes. And then from that point of the aquarium, the center point of the floorboards, the dry ice had this similar kind of aura to, you know, smudged lines of buttermilk on the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are like stylistic things that relate to the floorboards, the skirting boards, and the windows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's it, basically. The buttermilk and the position of the aquarium in relation to the floorboards were probably the only other details I dealt with. Oh, and lastly, the balcony, of course, was used for me as a way to perform and then take a breather, come out as my personal kind of like a VIP lounge, you know, where I could, like, the audience would come in, they would sit around the bedrooms or in the kitchen getting beer, or come in, see the work, and I'd perform. When I wasn't performing, I'd walk out, open the door, let fresh air in, stand on the balcony, have a beer, come back in, perform. So the balcony was also another characteristic that I used and was very grateful for.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Michael, what was it, this conversation with Tris about, with Fonda Michelle, about what? What was good for you?
This was, I forgot to mention that all of these were sound pieces in the space located in this apartment. But the topic of all of them was practical experience of the space helping affecting the show, their show, before. These were pieces, sound pieces by each of the previous exhibitors in the space.
Yeah.
So, which included five different previous exhibitors. And so this, the topic of Triss's, he wanted more of a straightforward interview, so but it still was about this topic.
Yeah, and maybe to get a better idea how this is arranged in this chopper.
Right.
and what is the, why is it becoming more and more interesting, or I think it is always interesting, that artists thematize space. What is for you as artists the meaning of space?
Elena. Oder, ja, Elena.
Do it. No.
Question was to you.
Yeah, this is to you.
Okay, also ich kann jetzt mal ganz kurz was dazu sagen, was für uns, für meinen Bruder und mich als diejenigen, die Chopper machen, wichtig ist. Ist einfach, dass man einen eigentlich privaten Raum in der Öffentlichkeit öffnet und damit so einen Austausch mehr schafft. Und das hat bis jetzt auch eigentlich ganz gut geklappt. Wir haben ja zweimal die Woche offen und da kann auch kommen, wer möchte. Also das ist offen, wie gesagt, für alle. Und das finde ich auch immer...
Heute ab 4 Uhr.
Heute ab 4 Uhr kommen
so
sie alle.
You have to run to the space.
Naja, genau. Sackhausstraße 2.
Sie ist hier right now.
Ja. Nee, also das finde ich halt, einmal spannend jetzt als Ausstellungssituation, dass es nicht so ein hermetischer Kunstraum ist, wie normalerweise eine Galerie oder ein Museum, dass es auch einmal mehr als sozialer Raum funktioniert, weil Menschen zusammenkommen, die so vielleicht nicht zusammenkommen würden und man sich gut in so einer Situation auch eben über die Kunstwerke unterhalten kann. Und deswegen war es auch schön, den Michael da zu haben, weil er einfach nochmal in seiner Arbeit speziell drauf, auf diese architektonische Gegebenheit eingegangen ist und die Leute, die Künstler, die vorher bei uns ausgestellt haben, mit ihren Soundpieces einfach nochmal auditiv das wiedergegeben haben, was für sie, für deren Ausstellung bei uns eben wichtig war. Yeah. Das ist auch nochmal, also das finde ich auch einfach spannend an der Arbeit mit Raum, also in, auch in meiner eigenen künstlerischen Praxis.
Ja. Yeah. And there is another context that Michael and Elena, they were in Moscow and right now in March, and there maybe what's going on, how is now in Moscow, how is the contemporary situation of art changing, probably the idea of space.
Uh-huh.
Elena. Yeah.
Michael, do you want to start?
Yeah.
How was your experience? You start the piece? Come on,
yeah.
It's here, number 4. This one is, we can listen to it. We listen still.
Okay,
to
no, the I'll start. Where is this?
Here. Here. Do you want to play some music?
Yeah, we'll start, because this is a sort of different thing. Okay.
It's starting.
Make
Hast du recht. Die schönsten Punkte sind nämlich die, die an der Ecke sind.
Ja, das stimmt, da hast du recht. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Ja, das ist richtig, das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Du hast recht, die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Ja, das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Du hast recht. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke sind.
Das stimmt. Die schönsten Punkte sind nämlich die, die an der Ecke sind.
Mhm. Genau. Die schönsten Punkte sind an der Ecke.
Ja, die schönsten Punkte sind an der Ecke.
Hier an der Ecke sind die schönsten, das stimmt.
Ja, hast du recht.
Die schönsten Punkte sind die, die an der Ecke. You would like to know what is maybe special in Moscow, in, I don't know, relation to other places, and what I thought is very special is actually visitors of a biennial, because it's mostly very young people, and I was like really... lots and lots of them. So I was very surprised in a way. How did that happen? Because I guess before first Moscow Biennial, there was no large audience, especially not many young people would come in to see some contemporary art exhibition.
Yeah.
And I think now they maybe do some kind of right propaganda for contemporary art. There are many young people visiting this biennial.
Yeah, and you traveled as a crew from the Stiedel School to Moscow. And what kind of work did you realize and show in Moscow? You.
That was a video.
Yeah.
There I tried to speak French, which I don't speak at all. And so it was a bit about communication, maybe. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
In a way, I was trying to comprehend something in a language I don't speak. And
is that where the love letters?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Do you like to say something in French?
No, I'm out of training. I mean, like, in the video, I was speaking after sound piece I made, a cut out of French, Tonspuren, out of French movies. So I wasn't really speaking myself. I was speaking after the sound I heard. So if Michael would say something in French, I would maybe try to speak after that. I don't know.
Vous êtes si belle, baise-moi.
Oh God, my God, that was too...
Again, please, can you repeat it?
Carlis, vous êtes si belle, baise-moi.
Alles klar.
Can you repeat it?
Vous êtes si belle. And the last sentence?
Baise-moi.
Baise-moi. So that wasn't much better in this video.
Okay, and what kind of work did you do in Moscow?
I tried to do a video also, but it was a good experiment. I'm not sure that I'm a master of video.
Yeah.
It was about, actually it was a slideshow, a type of slideshow, not really so much a video, but using video. It was a slideshow of old photographs with the descriptions of, and these were my photographs, but the descriptions were of well-known photographs by other commentators on photography.
Mm-hmm. And what were the most interesting works for you in this context of the Bayern? Or in which way were you part of the Biennale?
We were in the basement.
Talking about architecture.
Where was the architecture?
Literally, we were in the basement.
In which location was the Biennale? Okay.
It was spread out across the whole city.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think the funny thing was maybe that most of the, like, there were two locations that which were in the building which are not completed yet.
Yeah.
Like in this. Shopping mall and office skyscraper building, and a location where we were is kind of it's under reconstruction now. So I thought it was also quite a nice metaphor, because everything was under construction, and so it is with contemporary art in Russia, I would say.
Yeah. So, and how do you experience, as someone who's coming from Canada, this situation in Moscow? It's not really a post-communist area. It's not really democratic. And what is it for you when you, what do you experience in this?
Well, it was clear that this was probably an exceptional circumstance, even in Russia, because it's a huge event organized with hundreds of people, I can't say that I learned the most about Russia, but about the way a Biennale can work, and the way it can work is that I recommend if you're ever in a Biennale, you bring your own tools, because otherwise you can be waiting around for people to provide the structures you need to realize something. But one of the smart PhD students from Sweden brought a small portable electric screwdriver, and it saved everybody who had to build anything, because otherwise we had nothing. So
what is screwdriver?
Screwdriver is
Schraubenschlüssel.
Okay, they had no screwdriver?
There was no infrastructure involved, and that's exciting on one hand, but on the other hand, it means that we were down in the basement almost the whole time, and we didn't get to see most of the Biennale itself. So if you're in a Biennale, you actually don't get to see it, I think.
Yeah. But this is something I heard many times, that artists who just come for a couple of days to build up their exhibition, they don't see anything. if someone goes to a museum, then it just means like guy is really interested in going to this museum, maybe for his next project, who knows. Mm. No, but I mean, it's kind of normal.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe if you, is there something like in Frankfurt we have like the Chopal or other exhibition spaces from art students that's in a way accepted to do this here in Germany, but is there a kind of an art scene from the art students in Moscow who are organizing their own spaces as well?
Well, I guess so, but I mean like the thing with what is this? Wohnung, flat exhibition is kind of, I don't know, there's too much connotation in Russia, because exactly in this time when there was official art, the Soviet official art and this non-conformistic art, all exhibitions of non-conformistic art were in artists' apartments. And so basically they were calling each other, meeting in the space. They were looking at piece of the artist who exhibited there, and they were talking about it.
Yeah,
and that was their way of work.
Oh, right.
Because they were very isolated. Didn't no information about art in other countries could really come there. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So they really.
Had
to stuck together and discuss it.
And you grew up in Moscow?
No.
No, where?
Nizhny Novgorod.
Where is it?
It's near Bad Philbill.
No, it's near Hanau.
Oh, yeah, near Hamburg. Where is it?
It's like a couple of million people live there. So, shame on you.
And how did you get interested in art? And how did you come to the Städel school here in Frankfurt?
Okay, how did I get interested in art?
Yeah.
So, there is actually very, very, how to say, proper art education system in Russia, which was built up in Soviet times. You start as a child, and then you.
So you must have this idea that you are an artist when you are a little child, or
You kind of have interest in it, and then.
When did you start to become interested in art? In which age?
I mean, like, don't ask me. I was a special case, I guess. I was, I don't know, 8.
All right. Yes.
Normal,
isn't it?
Hmm?
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always doing that.
Born as an artist.
Okay. Okay, sorry for this question.
It's okay.
When did you start doing field research?
Oh.
And radio shows, especially.
Oh, yeah. This radio exists now 10 years. So it's somehow 10 years ago.
But you weren't at the age of 6 going around taking statistics.
Oh, yeah, I observed animals in this age. There were not so many artists. I didn't survive. Sorry, horses. Horses like artists, I think.
Yes, of course.
Okay, but when did you come to the Städel school then? Because this is another step, or
So I was in this Soviet education system, and I went to Moscow to art university there.
Yeah,
and then I so I thought it's not really contemporary what they teach there, and I was in. Program for more contemporary kind of stuff, and then I just thought I want to go to Germany to study art.
Yeah,
because this is the only place you can learn it.
Okay. Germany, wow.
So we are still listening. Do you have another track?
Yeah, I could play. This one 50-second piece from Ottawa, Ontario.
Yeah.
Just a little context for you. This, my friend and I recorded this in front of the Prime Minister's house.
It's a political work, then.
Yeah.
Really political.
Prime Minister of what?
It's the very last track.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Ready, yeah.
It's already running.
No.
Are we still on
it's
air?
It's only 37 seconds.
It looks like.
Get into a car wreck. Feel the love pure as
okay, and then
yeah,
do you want another song?
Why not?
Here? Okay.
Just start.
You gotta listen to the lyrics. You gotta have a little bit of patience, I think.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
a great message in this song.
I'm not respectful to music in this radio because I have other interests.
Yeah, but
time is money.
Nice that you have
time is money, you know.
Yeah, okay, what is your next exhibition in the Chopperl?
Okay, unsere nächste Ausstellung im Chopperl wird voraussichtlich am 9., 10. oder 11. Mai eröffnen, das ist noch nicht ganz klar, mit dem schwedischen Künstler Karl Palm. Und ja, ihr seid alle herzlich eingeladen, alle, die das jetzt hören. Ihr dürft alle vorbeikommen mit euren Freunden, Verwandten, Bekannten, Haustieren und so weiter.
Haustieren.
Vor allen Dingen Haustieren, die wollen wir auch gerne bei uns haben. Und die Adresse ist St. Georgestraße Nr. 2 im schönen Bornheim.
Und sag die Telefonnummer.
Die Telefonnummer weiß ich leider gerade nicht auswendig, aber man kann uns... Nein, wir haben hier die Telefonnummer.
Du kannst hier die E-Mail-Adresse.
Okay, die E-Mail-Adresse ist chopperl@gmx.de und Chopperl wird geschrieben T-S-C-H-O-P-E-R-L und dann @gmx.de.
Hey, some last words on the radio about space?
Yeah, I think you need a website.
Yes, we need a website. We don't have any space in the internet yet, but we work on this.
Elena, what's your next project?
Oh.
Ah, you will be at the 19th of April in the art site and have a discussion, or there's a new TV on the internet about...
I don't know. Then you may be better informed
than myself. You told me this. But
no, I said to you I have an opening. It doesn't mean that we will discuss anything.
Ah, that's an opening.
Yeah.
Where's this opening?
Institut Français.
Institut Français.
Okay, that's great.
You have to practice your French.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, many thanks. We all have to do this. Yes. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Am Mikrofon verabschieden sich für die Zuhörerschaft.
Please forgive me now. It's still 30 seconds.
For breakfast, a cup of tea for a man.